From the creator of The Simpsons and Futurama.
This is a bad time to be coming down off of that high.
Comes an epic tale.
I like war, but I wouldn't say I love it.
Of growing up.
Isn't there a point in everyone's life where they need to go figure out who they are?
In the dark ages.
I want to get rid of all the diseases plaguing mankind and replace them with worse ones.
Disenchantment.
Anybody looks at her, they get their head chopped off.
Boy, did I look at her.
Only on Netflix.
First-time claims for unemployment benefits are down in the latest report from the Labor Department. It says 212,000 Americans filed initial claims for jobless benefits last week, 2,000 fewer than the previous week's revised total. Biggest increases, Pennsylvania, California, and Oregon. New York's Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo is taking heat from both Democrats and Republicans after he says at a bill signing event this week,
"We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great."
Cuomo making the comment while criticizing the president's policies on women's reproductive rights and immigrants. Democrat Cynthia Nixon, who's challenging him in a primary next month, said Cuomo's words show that he's out of touch. In Memphis overnight, the annual candlelight vigil was held at Elvis Presley's grave, marking the 41st anniversary of his death. Interestingly, about half of the fans who visit the Presley birthplace each year are from the United Kingdom. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. If you're an entrepreneur, a small business owner, or perhaps want to be one for the first time, listen up. Seeking non-doctor entrepreneurs to operate a niche medical clinic for erectile dysfunction with no needles, no medication, and no surgery. I tried it out myself to see if it works. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. It's an all-cash business. No insurance. The income potential is enormous. You need $100,000 liquid to get started. Go to medicalpartnership.info. That's medicalpartnership.info. Medicalpartnership.info.
After releasing a report claiming that at least 300 Catholic priests in six dioceses of Pennsylvania had abused at least 1,000 children over a course of decades, the Attorney General in Pennsylvania now says his office is receiving more calls from people wanting to tell their stories and to seek justice. Meanwhile, a top clergyman who's among those accused of covering up the abuse in the Catholic Church tells parishioners the church has much to atone for. Cardinal Donald Wuerl of the Archdiocese of Washington saying at a Mass yesterday,
"While we work to restore confidence in the ability of the church, our ability to treat this problem, we need constantly to be there for survivors."
Cardinal Wuerl accused of the cover-up when he was assigned to the Archdiocese of Pittsburgh for 18 years. ISIS says one of its fighters carried out a suicide bombing in Kabul yesterday. Nearly three dozen people were killed. 56 others were injured in that blast in a Shiite area of the Afghan capital. And Georgia authorities are looking for whoever stole nearly $100,000 worth of ramen noodles. The thieves making off with a 53-foot trailer that was loaded with the ramen. It's not been found. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
People shopping at the... On today's program, I'll be talking four examples of poor, good, and excellent customer service from my recent trip to Alaska. I'll have seven ways to motivate your team during the summer months. I'll discuss the dress code with millennials in the workforce, and I'll have 12 ways you can keep ahead of your competition. It's Thursday, August 16th, 2018, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do, we always check the weather. Currently 83 degrees at 12:05. The forecast shows that for today, it'll be partly cloudy with a high of 90 degrees and a low of 70. For tomorrow, it'll be partly cloudy with afternoon thundershowers and showers continuing throughout the evening with a high of 89 and a low of 71. For Saturday, it'll be cloudy early with scattered thunderstorms developing later in the day, a high of 83 and a low of 66. And for Sunday, it'll be partly cloudy with a possible shower, too, a high of 77 and a low of 61. And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently up 366.47 points to 25,528.88. NASDAQ up 67.10 to 7841.20. S&P 500 is up 26.55 to 2844.94. Oil up 34 cents to $65.35 per barrel. Gold up $1.40 to $1,186.40 an ounce. Well, once again, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot. It's been a long time. I'd like to introduce myself back to you. It's been a long time since we got together. I had a trip to Savannah, Georgia, a couple of weeks ago that took me away from the studio, and then a two-week vacation up in Alaska, which we're going to talk about a little bit later on in the program as I discuss. And one of the things that I like to talk about here on the program is customer service, because I think it's a dying art in many businesses. And, you know, so I want to talk about a poor experience, a good experience, and then two excellent experiences that I had while I was up in Alaska, just so to kind of remind people that sometimes you have to think a little outside of the box in order to create a good customer service experience. If you are currently listening to the program on our live stream or watching on Facebook, we thank you for that. And again, you can watch the program live on Facebook by linking to our current show page, which is Taking Care of Business with Jim Gannot. And then like that page and follow it, and then you'll be able to get the live video stream every week of the program. Our business quote of the week is brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. And I like this one. It's from Dennis Waitley. And he says, the winners in life think constantly in terms of I can, I will, and I am. Losers, on the other hand, concentrate their waking thoughts on what they should have or would have done or what they can't do. Change the terms. You know, winners, losers, that may be a little harsh, but successful people and people that never seem to get out of the gate, same basic mentality. You know, when you have that attitude of, I can do it, I will do it, I'm going to do it. You know, it's a lot better than coulda, shoulda, woulda. And there's many times in life when you might have that, I wish I did this, I wish I did that. And so often, you know, people ask me why I do as much as I do. You know, why do you host a radio show and run a business? Why do you announce football games for the local high school? Why do you MC different events for charities and things? Why are you doing so much? And my philosophy has always been the same, and that is I don't want to look back when I'm 80 years old, sitting on the front porch of the nursing home, and think about my life and look back and say, you know, I should have hosted a program on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, or I should have announced the football games when I had the opportunity, or I should have helped out with various charities and organizations. And so I'd rather just do it now. And, you know, maybe I miss watching Dancing with the Stars or something else or America's Got Talent, but am I really missing all that much? I don't think so. So, you know, to me, it's better for me to do it now than to look back 20, 30, 40 years from now and say, you know, I really wish I had done something. So, again, the quote from Dennis Waitley, the winners in life think constantly in terms of I can, I will, and I am. Losers, on the other hand, concentrate their waking thoughts on what they should have or would have done, or what they can't do. So, again, just take it for what it's worth and then see how it applies in your life. Are you a winner or a loser? Are you a person who sits on the sidelines, or are you a person that takes the bull by the horns and wrestles with it and comes out stronger on the other end? During the preview of the show, I mentioned I have 12 ways that you can keep ahead of your competition. I want to go through them with you now because I think a lot of times, particularly in these summer months, you get what is known as the summer lull. And I think I have another story here on that as well, how to keep your staff motivated during the lull. But what about you and what about your business as it pertains to keeping ahead of your competition? This is a good time for you to kind of like hit the reset button, the reboot button, if you will, and try to beat out your competition. And it's just part of business. You know, everybody's fighting for the same dollars. How are you going to make yourself better? So when you have your eyes and your ears on the competition, it's just as important as listening to your customers. And I have some tips here on how to stay ahead of the curve that can help attract more business your way. And as a small business owner, you're probably very aware of your competition, and if you're not, you should be, says Bill Corbett Jr., who's the president of Corbett Public Relations. He said, one of the keys to success is market share, and if you're not growing your market share, you're simply not growing. In order to grow, Corbett advised to use a set of tactics to stay ahead of your competition, to know what they are doing and what they are planning to do. So first, ask questions of parties who know your competitors, and they could be existing customers, users of a particular product, visitors to a venue or a restaurant. And one that's not stated but has helped me tremendously is tap into your UPS and FedEx drivers. And people say, why those guys? Well, they're in that business every day. They know if new products are coming out. They know what boxes are being delivered and from whom. They know what boxes are being shipped out. My UPS driver all the time will tell me when, if Trophy Depot or Spikes or Crown Awards has a delivery at a residence, he'll say, you know, this house over on Pennsylvania Avenue just got two boxes of trophies. Now, I have to go and start marketing harder in that area so that I can try to take that business back. So use your UPS and FedEx drivers as kind of like competitive intelligence spies, if you will. Ask them about what processes they see, what services they get, what's the product quality, and then keep notes and information on all of them. You also want to monitor the media. Companies that are growing are hiring people, and this is often reported in the media. This is more on a large-scale basis, but on a small business basis, check out Indeed.com and do a search on open positions. See if there's an ad in the newspaper or on social media. It's not a bad idea to follow your competition on social media so you can see what they're posting as well. Check out their news pages. Are they issuing press releases about new products, services, or people? Is anybody getting promoted? Has anybody recently left the company? And if so, why? You want to consume their content. You want to get to understand their business, the mission, the philosophy, their goals, and the people through content that your competition creates, whether it's on a blog, on a video, or on a website. Keep tabs on social media and make sure that if you're not looking at the social media feeds of your competitors, they will be beating you down the road. This is the way business is going, and you need to be on top of everybody's social media, even more so than their websites. You want to watch what their leaders are doing. What do their public pages say, and then watch what they post. They talk about their culture, their people, new products, new services, and strategies. And don't just limit it to Facebook. Check out their LinkedIn pages. Connect with them on LinkedIn if you can, or have one of your employees do it so you can see any new updates. Often you're going to be surprised about what is posted on social media feeds for all to see. Social media will also show you where they are marketing and if they are attending trade shows or other events. And again, don't forget to look at LinkedIn, a great tool to see what people are up to and what their job descriptions are. You can automate the process using Google Alerts that focus on the company names, their product names, and key leadership. These up-to-date searches will be conveniently sent directly to you, saving you time. Search the web on different search engines, not just Google, and social media sites. Use keywords along with company names to get more information. Keep an eye out for complaints, any bankruptcy news, or new product releases. You want to investigate staff reviews and comments on sites like Glassdoor. You can learn a lot from former clients, customers, and employees, especially as it pertains to the culture. And monitor customer reviews. Bad or good on the reviews, if a competitor is getting a lot of reviews, they provide a lens into your competition's business. Take note of any awards or recognition that they receive. If a competitor is getting honored, it may be for the proper purposes. However, in other situations, awards are acquired, sometimes what we call pay for play, to mask something negative that has happened. And finally, keep your competitors close, but not too close. Join organizations where competitors are present and talk, interact, and sit on committees with them. However, remember that they may be at these meetings to learn about what you're doing as much as you are there to find out what they are doing. Kind of a funny story on Google Alerts that was mentioned in the seventh point there, and when we come back from the break. But kind of funny, something funny happened this week, and my name popped up on Google Alerts. Apparently a lot of people follow me, and they were calling me to congratulate me for being inducted into a Hall of Fame that I have never even heard of. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano. So glad you could join me this afternoon in what will be our last show in this studio later this afternoon. Some big brawny guys are going to come in, move all the equipment out, and we're going to move across the hall in the same building here in the Chamber of Commerce, but moving across the hall to make way so that this can become the offices of Mark Salek, who's the Economic Development Chief here for Hunterdon County, moving in with his staff to this office space, and we wish him well there. And we'll get used to operating in a new studio starting next week. So I was talking about Google Alerts in the last story, and a funny thing happened this past week as it pertained to me. People started calling me, people from college, people from high school, people that I have a professional association with. And they just started congratulating me on being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I had absolutely no idea what they were talking about. And so it ends up that they've set my name on Google Alerts. So if anything should pop up, a press release, a news article, or something like that, they'll get an alert saying, hey, Jim Gano's in the news. So it turns out that a gentleman named Jim Gano in Iowa was inducted into the Iowa Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Didn't even know there was such a thing, but there it is. So the headline reads, you know, Gano inducted into Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. A lot of my friends that, you know that I've worked in radio thought, well, obviously it must be for his radio career. So they just, without reading the article, they started calling me and saying, hey, congratulations, I heard you were inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I'm like, what the heck are we talking about? So then finally I had to Google myself, only to find out that a gentleman named Jim Gano worked security for a band for about 15 or 16 years, a very popular band in the Midwest in the 70s and 80s. And he was inducted. His nickname is Jungle Jim Gano. I've never been called Jungle Jim Gano. He looks about 10 years older than me in the picture. And finally, I had to explain to people, you got the wrong guy. You know, I'm not inducted. But so congratulations to that Jim Gano, Jungle Jim Gano, for his induction into the Iowa Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But made for some interesting phone calls over the past week, even some voicemail messages at home congratulating me. And you know, you hit the machine and I'll say, hey, congratulations. And I'm looking at everybody like, for what? So let's talk about customer service for a minute. Now, as I mentioned on the beginning of the show, I went to Alaska for the past 2 weeks. I had a great time. Absolutely, probably the best vacation I think I've ever taken. I can't describe to you the scenery. I can't describe to you the beauty of that state. And before it's ruined, get up there and see it for yourself, because even if I showed you pictures, it wouldn't do it justice. So wherever I go, when I travel to a different town, I do a couple of things. First, I want to see how the locals deal with tourists or with business people. I visit the Chamber of Commerce. I visit the Department of Tourism, because I want to see how other towns present themselves. And so the first story of customer service falls into the poor category. And so what happened was, three couples, we were all going to Alaska, all taking different flights and arriving at different times. So the first couple arrives at the hotel at around noon, and they go to check in, and the lady behind the desk says, well, your room's not ready. Now, they've just traveled about 10 hours, you know, on planes with a couple of layovers, so they're tired and they just want to be able to lay down. So my friend says, well, we have two other parties coming in. Are their rooms ready? And he goes, well, I don't know. You know, the computer won't show me that. So he gives him the name and finally says, well, yeah, the Hogan room is ready. The Gano room is ready. He goes, why don't you just give us the Hogan room? This guy couldn't figure out that because the computer said that that room was reserved for the Hogans, that he couldn't give it to this guy. All we were asking to do was swap rooms. But because the computer didn't say you could do that, he had a hard time with it. So my friend had to kind of walk him through the process of just give me a key to a different room and we're good to go. It just baffled me that this guy, you know, when you start talking about thinking outside the box, I don't think he would have even found the lid, because he couldn't get it in his head that I have an available room, it's clean, all I have to do is change the name on the reservation. So eventually, after about 15, 20 minutes, it happened, but, you know, still, that could have been done a whole lot more smoothly. The second customer service experience, which kind of falls into that poor, where's your head mentality thing. We go to a restaurant one night for dinner, had a great time. Good food, nice restaurant, great service, everything was going great. And then we decided to go back the next morning because where we were, there's not a lot of restaurants. So we were going to go back the next morning for brunch. And so we go back and we ask for a table of six. And the girl looks around the restaurant and she goes, well, we only have one six top and it's being used. And I'm looking around the restaurant and all I see are tables for four, tables for two. And I'm doing some quick math. And I remember from third grade that four plus two equals six. So if we push the tables together, we might be able to make that happen. And we could all sit together. So very politely, I said to her, if we took that four top and this two top and pushed them together, could we make a table of six? And she thought long and hard about this until she finally said, yeah, I think that would work. Then she had to figure out how she was going to move the table of four and the table of two together. And I said, let me help you with this. So my friend and I grabbed the table, slid it together, moved the chairs around. Lo and behold, we have a table for six. And I was like, why is this so hard? Why, you know, again, can't find the lid on this particular box. So now let's talk about good customer service. So we're in, I think we're in Anchorage, and we had some time to kill, and, you know, so we were going to go out to dinner, and we called for an Uber, and our Uber driver shows up, an older gentleman. He looked like he was in his 70s, but this guy loved Alaska. And so what happened was he takes us on a drive, and he goes, do you have a few minutes or do you have a reservation? I said, no, we got time. So he says, there's a couple things I want to show you. So he starts driving. He goes, down this block, there's a beautiful statue of a whale in tribute to, you know, whaling. And so, again, we were very interested, and it was cool to see. And then he took us to a couple other notable places. He drove us down 4th Avenue, which back in, I think, the 1960s, there was a bad earthquake. And the street and everything on it, the buildings and everything, sank about 20 feet. And, you know, so we were trying to picture what that would look like. Eventually, you know, we got to Google it. But it was amazing that, you know, he was showing us a movie theater that, you know, 40 years ago, you know, had sunk into the ground. And so by telling us these stories, showing us some unique sites, and then taking us to the restaurant, great, you know, customer service on the part of Wayne, the Uber driver. So we eat a good dinner, you know, everything went fine there, and I was impressed with the waitress because a party of six in a very busy, very noisy restaurant, she didn't write one thing down, but she got the order perfectly correct, you know, who had the burger, who had the fish tacos, she knew what everybody had, and I was very impressed that you could do that, you know, without writing anything down. That's not what we're talking about, though. Excellent customer service comes to us from another Uber driver. So we order up an Uber XL, and we're tracking him on the app, and sure enough, he shows up. We all climb in, and he goes, where are you going? And we told him the name of the hotel we were staying at, and he goes, all right. And from the floor of the front of his SUV, he pulls up this basket, and in this basket are Nutri-Green bars, lollipops, M&M's. He goes, help yourselves. And we're like, oh, this is awesome. You know, I'm grabbing Tootsie Pops and M&M's. And we just start talking. I was like, Robert, I've never seen this, you know, in an Uber or in a taxi cab before. This is great. He goes, you know, I want you guys to have a good time and remember, you know, your time here in Anchorage. We got to talking with him during the 15-minute trip. Well, come to find out, he was born in Elizabeth, New Jersey. His parents moved to Alaska. His father worked on the pipeline. He's still there. He's got a daughter playing soccer at Arizona State. We got to know this guy in 15 minutes, and it was just great service, how he talked about his love of Alaska, his love of family. He's a postal carrier. When he's not working in the post office, he's Uber driving. When he's not doing that, he has another side gig that he's working on. He's hustling in order to, you know, make ends meet, you know, for his family. I was just absolutely blown away by his work ethic and why he was and how he was willing to do whatever it takes to provide for his family in a pretty harsh environment, you know. Alaska is not the greatest place to be living, and but he said, he goes, I got a great gig going. He goes, my mail route, he goes, you got some of these guys have to walk their route in the snow and all stuff. He goes, I got downtown office buildings. I pull up, I'm inside for an hour and a half delivering to all the different offices. I come out, drive down the block, go back into another building. He goes, I got a good gig. Don't worry about me. So it was all really good. And so, again, in customer service, and not if you're the business owner, but on your employees, get them to think with their heads a little bit. How hard would it have been to swap a hotel room key if you know that everybody's together and get this couple, you know, a place where they can lie down and be comfortable? How hard is it to move a four-top table next to a two-top table and create a six-top table? It doesn't seem very hard to me. It's common sense. And, you know, I know that a lot of times people get so reliant on computers. But after a while, look up from the screen and let common sense, you know, take over. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We'll be back right after this news break.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Music legend Aretha Franklin is dead at 76, passing away just days after her family disclosed that she was battling cancer and was at home under hospice care. What you want? Born in 1942, she sang gospel before starting her mainstream career at 18. She was the first woman to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1987, and she received a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award in 1994. Again, Aretha Franklin was 76. Deliberations are going on now in Paul Manafort's bank and tax fraud case. The former Trump campaign chairman facing more than a dozen charges of fraud and money laundering stemming from the special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. And this is USA Radio News.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
In need of comfort? Look to two American icons, the Company Store and the LaCrosse Comforter. Available in down and down-free options in four warmth levels and 14 colors. For over 100 years, no one gives you more choices and better quality than the Company Store. Go to thecompanystore.com and enter code RADIO15 to receive 15% off your entire order and free shipping. That's thecompanystore.com. The Company Store. Comfort that fits your style.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the host of the program. And after playing Boston instead of Bachman Turner Overdrive, I don't know how much longer I'll be the host of this program. Good move, Jim. So sad news today. Aretha Franklin has passed away. The Queen of Soul is gone. And on the 41st anniversary of Elvis's passing, two icons dying on the same day, 41 years apart, but both of whom had a tremendous impact on rock and roll. And, obviously sad news coming out of Detroit today that Aretha Franklin has passed away. Back in January, I had done a show. I interviewed the folks from the Huntington Central Workforce Readiness Program, and most of those kids are on the autism spectrum, and I just want to bring this to your attention because I'm working on another project. We're trying to create an autism-friendly environment in the business sector here in Flemington. Obviously, people affected by autism and their families know they can stop by my store anytime. I don't get upset if the kids, touch things in my showroom. If a piece of crystal breaks, I've got 20 more on the shelf in the warehouse. But we want to make this town autism friendly. So I'm going to have a couple of shows dedicated to that in the coming months. I'm going to have more news on what we're trying to do to help create an autism friendly environment. And it's going to take a buy-in from a lot of the businesses, not financially, but just, would you be willing to, read a pamphlet, maybe talk to some people from the organization and learn what it means to be autism friendly. Interesting story the other night when I met with some parents of autistic children was how the one gentleman said something very telling to me, and because I had suggested we could use my warehouse on a Friday night and do like paint parties or game nights or something like that. And I said, but with that, I want the parents to leave. We'll have this fully supervised, but I want the parents to leave, go out and do something for themselves, dinner, go to get your nails done, do whatever, because, I know you don't have the time. Being a parent of an autistic child is a 24/7 job. And the one father looked at me and he goes, you hit the nail on the head. He goes, I live my life in 15-minute increments. He goes, if I can just get through the next 15 minutes, and then I'll work on the next 15 minutes, and then the next 15 minutes. If you don't have that kind of responsibility, you don't have an autistic child, you don't have a special needs child, you may not be able to grasp the magnitude of what he said. But think about your life, and if you don't have those burdens, you know, what would it be like for you to have to think in quarter hour increments? If I can just get through these 15 minutes, you know, and that's why I'm hoping that the business community will embrace this initiative and make Flemington an autism friendly town. I think that would be great, both for the borough and the community at large. So hopefully it'll help both sides, the business owners as well as the autism community. More on that in the coming months. Let's talk about, and I mentioned this in an earlier story today, how to motivate your shop, your employees, especially during these what we call lull times. An unmotivated staff can really pose serious problems for your business. And only 33% of American workers report being fully engaged in their jobs, according to a 2017 Gallup report. And that majority of unmotivated workers is resulting in more than $550 billion in lost productivity. A motivated staff keeps your shop running quickly and efficiently. And on top of that, they're happy and motivated employees. They help make your shop a pleasure to run and a pleasure to spend your work day in. As the CEO of your business, you're not only responsible for assembling a good team, but you also have a large hand in keeping that team happy and productive. So we have seven steps here on how you can increase employee motivation in your shop. Before I get started, and we're going to talk about the seven steps, there's two sentences I want to say that some people have a hard time with. The first is, if you're not doing these seven things, it's your fault that your staff isn't motivated. And on the employee side, if you're not motivated, figure out why. And if it's because of something that the boss is doing, the culture in the company, or something else, or you're just damn lazy, quit that job. Do that company a service. Quit the job. Go find something that you want to do. But don't waste the company's resources just because it's a paycheck to you. It is such a drain on the organization. I know I'm going to get a lot of emails on that statement, but you have to understand, we're in business to make money. We're in business to provide a service to our customers. And if we're not doing that at the very highest level, there's really no need to keep you around. You have to give it your best every single day, in exchange for which every 2 weeks you'll get a paycheck that rewards you for that work. So here are the seven steps. First, you as the business owner should share your goals with your team. Now, you obviously have, or you should have, a clear vision for your business. So you want to let your employees know what you're looking to achieve and that you view them as an integral part in reaching those achievements. Now, whether you want to become the shop for local businesses or expand your reach to nonprofits, you know, being the one-stop shop, letting your employees in on that behind-the-scenes stuff motivates them to help you reach those goals. When they're engaged, when they know what the mission is, you'll often find that as you listen to them talking with customers, they're spitting out exactly what you say verbatim. You also have to trust your employees. Now, trust goes a long way toward motivating people to take the initiative and work hard. When you opt out of micromanaging, your employees will feel empowered to take charge. You won't have to ask for every task to get done, and they'll solve problems on their own. Plus, constant monitoring can build stress among employees as well with you. Third, you have to roll up your sleeves too. Now, while trust and proper delegation are important, so is being hands-on and sharing in the work. Running a business can keep you in your office all day, every day. But helping your employees help customers, loading the customer's car, helping to take orders, packing boxes, assembling, whatever it takes, it shows them that you are just as committed to your business's daily operations and goals as they are. You also want to give your employees a chance to grow. There's nothing less motivating than feeling like you're going to a dead-end job day after day to perform the same task. You can avoid that trap by offering your employees the opportunities to grow. You should know your employees' professional goals and offer a hand so they can achieve them. This could mean giving them new or more responsibilities or offering additional training to help them move their career forward. You want to be positive. A positive attitude is infectious. Make your employees feel good about coming to work and about the work they do. That means controlling your negative emotions when things don't go right. Give positive feedback when it's warranted and offer incentives. Even consider treating employees to donuts or catered lunch or a show or something like that. These things may seem small at times, but it's a great way to show your employees that you appreciate the work they're doing. Number six, very important, stay open to feedback. As important as communication about goals and successes with your team is, it's just as important to listen to and consider their feedback.
They are the ones operating the equipment, using the systems, and interacting with customers. So listening to their feedback shows that you trust their opinions, which can help them feel more invested in your business. And finally, be genuine. Let your personality show by taking the time to talk to your employees offline, not about work, what's happening in their lives, their families, things like that. Be honest with them. Don't go back on your word, and make sure they know you can be trusted to take care of their well-being. As the head of your business, you can have a major impact on your employees' attitudes and how they approach their work. So going back to the third point, you know, getting involved and doing the same work. Years ago, I was running a lumberyard, and we had a door division, and I had two welders who would weld the frames together. And one night, we had an order for 70 frames. It was a rush job. We had to get these things done. And so I called my wife. I said, I'm going to stay late and help. Now, I'm not a good welder, but I can grind. And so after you weld the door together, you have to grind it smooth, bondo it, so it's ready for primer and paint. So I would tell my welder, one of which was Polish and spoke very little English, the other who was Lebanese and spoke very little English, you grind them, or you weld them, I'll grind them, and we'll get these things done. We'll be out of here by midnight. So they welded in a frenzy. I ground them in a frenzy. We bondoed them, stacked them up. The next day they were ready for primer, and we were able to ship. And they were so happy. Out of all of, we had probably 40 or 50 employees, but nobody else stayed, just me. And I asked them, I said, you know, how did we do? And they go, we've never had anybody work with us like that. It motivated us to work harder. We were dreading that we were going to be here till 3 or 4 in the morning and then have to come back at 7. But you stayed, you got dirt just as dirty as we did. And, you know, it made a huge difference in how we were able to do it. And the Polish welder told me, he goes, I did my best welding tonight because you impressed me with your grinding that I wanted to do as good a job. And, you know, it showed. Customer was happy. You know, frames are delivered. If you work in my business, you'll never see one of my employees cleaning toilets. That's my job. That's what CEO stands for, Chief Environmental Officer. I didn't hire people to clean toilets. I want them to focus on their jobs. And I don't think cleaning toilets is in anybody's job description. If I get tired of doing it, I'll hire a cleaning service. But my employees know that I'm there for them. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I want to talk to you about a change that's happening. It's been happening over the past several years. But how to address the dress code in your business when you have a millennial workforce. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Listen, take care of business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, you lucky dog. You're listening to Taking Care of Business. Almost forgot that. That would have been a shame. So when we talk about dressing for the workplace, if you think about, and I'm 57, so if you think about how your parents dressed for work in the 60s and 70s, typically, mom and dad, or dad probably got dressed up, suit and tie, went to work, unless he was a blue-collar worker. But, you know, he would dress pretty much the same every day, and then he would grab his lunch pail and go. Mom would wear a dress, a skirt or something, pantyhose, things like that. And then at some point, businesses started introducing casual Fridays, business casual. And it would be like, you don't have to wear your suit and tie. You can go with a button-down shirt and, you know, khaki pants or something like that. Women had a relaxed dress code. They were allowed to wear slacks. And it seems that as you look more and more at corporate America and even small businesses, that the dress code has really gotten relaxed over the years. We have, you know, some business owners that wear shorts to work every day. And that's fine if it fits, you know, the type of business that you run. I don't know that I'd want to do business with my banker and if he was wearing shorts. But, you know, it just goes to show how much the times have changed, if you will, as it pertains to the dress code in corporate America. So the reality of a modern workplace makes things like pantyhose, power suits, and pocket squares a thing of the past. We're living in that age of comfort and versatility, being Instagram ready as soon as the clock strikes five. Whether or not companies get the millennial program is at their discretion, but one thing's for certain, millennials aren't dressing up for their day job, not on their iWatch. Now, we're witnessing an interesting yet not surprising shift to casualization in the modern-day workplace. Millennials, which are defined as those people who were born between 1981 and 1995, are notorious for being trendsetters of late. And by 2025, it's estimated that 3 out of every 4 employees will be a millennial, according to Time magazine. So with these constantly changing trends, that means that businesses need to keep up. As millennials continue to surge into the workplace, no individual or industry is safe from the changing tides of office formality, says Ryan Jenkins, who's a keynote speaker, author, Inc.com columnist, and a millennial. There are, of course, options in the midst of these changing clothing trends. So business owners need not worry. Companies are starting to rely on branded gear to deal with the dress code elephant in the room. That would be something like a polo shirt with a logo. Comfortable sports shirts that are fashionable, ready, available, and easy to accessorize are what's for dinner, and millennials are eating it up. Millennials' entrance into the workforce really facilitated the athleisure movement in the workplace and elevated the need for performance in uniform, says Angie Bybee, who is the VP of Design at Fruit of the Loom. Bybee heads up a team that researches trends both domestically and internationally to drive innovation and future strategy in new product design. Now, according to Bybee, those born from 1996 to 2010, which are called Generation Z, have been even more impactful on the casualization movement than the millennials were. They're really the performance generation. Performance in clothing is all that they've known, and this puts an even greater emphasis on comfort, performance, and style, even in uniforms. Schools are a big sport shirt users, especially with private schools where there's a mandated dress code or uniform. Now, if you mandate clothing for your workforce, the need for stain release is crucial in both channels of distribution, she says. Sport shirts are the ultimate athleisure silhouette, for the workplace. They're the perfect blend of casual and business. Given the versatility of casual wear, it seems most industries will have to jump on that bandwagon sooner rather than later. And with the youngest millennials at 22 years old presently making an aggressive push into the workplace and Gen Zers finishing school and applying for jobs, the workplace will undoubtedly bend to their will. Since more than half of job seekers said a company's dress code is either very important or moderately important when it comes to accepting a job offer, companies are using flexible dress codes as a way to attract talent, especially the millennials, Jenkins says. But there are more ways to catch the eye of a millennial or Gen Zer, and that comes after the clothing choice, and that's the decoration factor. So how uniforms and how apparel is decorated or allowed to be decorated is going to be a major factor. And apparel decorators everywhere need reliable fabric that's designed to last the wear and tear of the hospitality and school industries. It's crucial that products are on point but still deliver to performance needs for the decorator and the end consumer. It's clear that although workplaces are becoming more casual, it's fitting those who will begin to run them, millennials and Gen Zers alike. And as trends change, it's important for decorators to know how to keep up. What we know for certain, comfortability, versatility, and style will rule the workplace for the foreseeable future. So there's the question, friends. What does your business do, and how has it changed? If you've been in business 20, 30 years, how has it changed over the years? Did it used to be suit and tie and a dress? Has it been relaxed? You know, and how relaxed are you willing to either go or let it go? So a couple of questions there that I think you need to be aware of, and a couple of thoughts that you need to be keeping in the back of your head, you know, as time marches on, that, you know, your dress code today may be outdated in as little as 5 years. So something to be thinking about there. We talk a lot about customers. We talk a lot about retention on the program, and I do that for a reason. And customer retention is huge. Once you have a customer and you've serviced them well, what's going to make them want to come back? And if it's existing orders that are repeat and repeat and repeat, with retention, you can almost figure out as you turn the calendar on January 1st how much business you'll be doing the following year. So how do you turn an existing customer into repeat business? And it's 6 to 7 times more expensive to attract a new customer than to retain an existing one. Investing a little time in creative marketing could bring existing customers back and pay off big time for you and your small business. So finding, attracting, and converting people into paying customers can be costly and time-consuming, and thus it would make sense that you'd want to keep a client once you earn their business. So are you doing a good job of staying in contact with your customers? It's important to stay in touch with customers no matter the business model or industry. However, service-based business models are highly dependent on repeat business, and it's worth your time and money to focus on staying in touch and re-engaging existing customers. So here are 4 tips and techniques that might just do the trick for you. First, you want to send out regular communications. Nothing replaces regular, relevant communication between you and your customers. And while it can seem fruitless at times, this steady contact will help you retain a relationship even when they don't necessarily need the services you're offering at that moment. The thought of staying in touch with all of your past and current clients might seem overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. Thanks to tools like Smilebox, you can easily create compelling flyers and emails with simple and attractive templates. You can use Constant Contact, Robly, and you can then use an email marketing solution like MailChimp to automate the rest of the process. You also want to connect with them on social media. Now, email is great, but it doesn't always feel organic. Now, in order to humanize your brand and increase exposure, you also need to be connected with your customers on social media. Social media represents a low-cost way for companies to engage customers in two-way dialogue and develop deeper relationships, says digital marketing expert Nicole Kelly. Relationships are a benefit that is difficult to achieve with other marketing channels. One often overlooked opportunity is to use social media to strategically drive incremental revenue from existing customers. There are a couple of different ways that you can leverage social media when it comes to existing customers. The first is to offer customer service help via social channels. The second is to improve the customer experience by building up the brand and proving its value. So you want to make sure that you're connecting with them on a regular basis. Again, don't connect and then disappear. Connect and stay connected. You can offer coupons or free deals. Some customers are highly price sensitive and will need to be sold on doing business with you again. One method to re-engage this group of customers is to offer enticing coupons and deals. For example, you might send out a limited time offer to previous or existing customers for 25% off of a particular product or service. Not only does this hopefully lead to a lift in sales, but it can also be an expression of goodwill and loyalty toward your clients. And ask for feedback. Here's another important topic that is often overlooked. If you really want to know how you're doing, who better to ask than your own customers? Try asking for feedback and see what your customers say. You'd be surprised how willing many are to give you constructive advice and information that would otherwise go unspoken. There are a number of ways to ask for feedback. One option is to send out a survey and questionnaire via email, though the response rate is typically very low. The better choice is to leverage social media, where the process is a bit more personal. But remember, when it's out there on social media, everybody can see it. An existing versus new. Now, it takes 6 or 7 times more expensive to attract a new customer than to retain an existing one. And if you're looking for a cost-effective way to grow revenue and maximize the resources you have, it would be wise to pursue your past customers with as much intensity, if not more, as new customers. It's not easy, but there's certainly a lot to be gained from an investment in this area. And then finally, when you have existing customers, don't be shy about asking them for referrals. If they like your business and they have become friendly with you and they're following you on social media, they're almost like a fan of your business, ask them to promote you with their contact list so that you can help those customers as well. And then eventually, when they become customers, you'll be able to have even more existing business. So the importance of referrals cannot be understated. And the best place to do that is with your existing customers. In sports, in NASCAR news, Kevin Harvick won last week's race in Michigan and celebrated in the coolest way possible by having his son collect the checkered flag, then giving him a ride in the race car on the victory lap. This week, the teams head to Bristol Motor Speedway for a night race on Saturday at 7 p.m. Longtime driver Elliott Sadler has announced he will retire after this season. Sadler currently drives for Junior Motorsports and is 17 points out of first place. In Major League Baseball, the Red Sox, Indians, and Astros lead their divisions in the American League, while the Braves, Cubs, and Diamondbacks lead theirs in the National. In preseason football, the Eagles take on the Patriots in a Super Bowl rematch tonight, the Super Bowl that the Eagles won, by the way, and the Jets play Washington also tonight, and the Giants will play the Lions tomorrow night. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well, when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul, died today at her home in Detroit, Michigan from advanced pancreatic cancer. Sarah Dash is a member of LaBelle and says how people should remember Franklin.
As a child of God, as one who had the best voice ever in the world, she reigned in her vocal ability. She could make you cry. She could make you laugh. It takes a very special talent to have that ability.
A Colorado man has been arrested after confessing to killing his pregnant wife and two daughters, authorities say, after previously telling the media a couple days back how upsetting it was to be alone in his normally bustling house after they vanished earlier this week. Chris Watts was taken into custody on Wednesday and charged with three counts of murder today. Watts reportedly confessed to the murders just after giving a tearful plea for his family to return home safely. This is USA Radio News.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses. And you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
In need of comfort? Look to two American icons, the Company Store and the LaCrosse Comforter. Available in down and down-free options in four warmth levels and 14 colors. For over 100 years, no one gives you more choices and better quality than the Company Store. Go to the